Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicky, and I'm here with Matt Stewart
and Jess Wilkins.
Now, I can't tell if that echo is, in fact, Jess's voice or my headphones, because we've got a bit of an echo already going on in our headphones here in the studio.
You'll never know. It was my voice.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's my favorite thing to do. I do it every week. I just do it quietly.
I'm hearing double. Four crusties.
Yes. And then I noticed someone left an iTunes review on us recently, which we appreciate if anyone ever does that. And it was like, comes with a free Simpsons reference every episode. So there we go, our contractual obligation. Very early on there.
Very early, just nailing it, getting shit done. All right.
All right.
Hoorah!
The question this week, Dave, just to explain to people who don't know, what's the question about again?
Well, somehow, I don't know if we've ever explained this, but the first episode we ever did was on the Mona Lisa. And to get onto the topic, I decided to ask a question. And then 124 weeks later, we have just kept that tradition up.
Okay, so Matt just wanted you to say, we ask a question. You didn't have to put in a brag there about how it was your idea.
Oh, but it wasn't my idea. I believe it was whoever's report was number two, just to continue the tradition. So Matt's idea.
Oh, okay.
Dad, you really flipped that on me.
Yeah. You did. Now I'm not mad at you.
There's plenty of praise for all of us.
Good idea, Matt. Okay, can I have some?
There's plenty of praise for two of us.
Fair enough.
That would have been better if I'd said plenty instead of plenty. So anyway. Matt's written a report on a topic. Jess and I don't know what it is about. It's been suggested by a listener, I assume.
Yes, it has. I'm just just remembering. I've got to look that up. All right. The question is this week, Dave and Jess. Hands on buzzers.
Okay. Oh, names of buzzers.
Which creature is known for the
Black Lagoon.
That's not a creature. That's a lagoon.
Sorry, you idiot.
I didn't say which.
No, sorry. My buzzer is Black Lagoon.
Okay. And so your answer is.
It's a weird.
Which creature? Batman.
Funnily enough, my buzzer is Gone with the Wind.
Jess, and then your answer? Was that you buzzing in or testing your buzzer?
Mine was also a test, so please don't.
Yeah, mine was a test. Both tests.
All right, new rule. Let me get the question out before you buzz in.
Okay. Interesting.
Well,
interesting,
you should turn the buzzers off before the question finishes.
Well, hands off buzzers again, and then put them on when I finish the question.
Okay, you tell us when you finish the question. You finish the question with hands on buzzers.
Okay. Black Lagoon. Sorry, me again. Sorry. Can't
take your fucking hand off the buzzer. Question is, Which creature is known for the size of one of their body parts more than any other?
What are you thinking?
Black Lagoon. Is it Farlap?
Oh, good. Very good.
Giant horse pee.
Also, it's been in the hat.
It has, and we talked about Farlap a couple of weeks ago for some reason. I think that was your guess, Pat, for one of my topics.
Heart the size of Farlap. No, very good guess, though. Jess?
Sorry. It's known more for the size of its
It's an
body
awfully
part.
Written question.
Rather than it being a thing.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't understand your question as much as I don't understand my question.
Is it... So it's about... elephant tusks.
Okay. Well, no, it's a particular kind of creature.
Okay.
And it is known for having a large body part.
Black Lagoon, I can't help but feel you just restated the exact same question, but more slowly, and somehow thinking that we'd understand that.
Yeah, you emphasized different parts of the sentence.
You're like, don't worry about it. I'll rephrase the question. I'll put a clue in there.
Its whole name is about how big this size.
Oh, Black Lagoon. Is it Bigfoot?
Yes, it's Bigfoot.
Oh, thank God.
Does the question make sense now?
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
Not really. Sorry,
not
everybody.
Really, no.
It's everyone at home.
I've never really thought about, does it have big feet?
Well, yeah.
But like abnormally big feet or something that, I actually don't know what Bigfoot is. Is it a gorilla, man? Well, you're going to tell us.
We hope.
Fuck, that's a big task.
I want solid evidence.
Okay.
In this report.
Look,
I want to be convinced.
It's interesting because there's so much, I was thinking it was going to be like the Mothman, like there was one origin story and it sort of came out from there, but this is something that goes back centuries. There's legends of, anyway, let's do the report.
Of big feet.
What is Bigfoot is what I've written here. Bigfoot is a big hairy humanoid creature who is thought by some to inhabit wilderness areas in North America, especially the Pacific Northwest. While the term Bigfoot was first recorded in the 1950s, there had been stories of similar creatures prior to this for centuries. According to an article on todayifoundout.com by Emily Upton, stories of a wild man existed among the Native Americans of the Pacific Northwest long before white colonists moved in. Versions of Bigfoot range from a harmless giant who stole fish from fishermen's nests and nets to cannibalistic monsters living on mountain peaks. These stories varied from tribe to tribe and even from family to family, which meant that Bigfoot had a lot of different names. Only obviously since the 50s has the Bigfoot name sort of taken over, especially in,
of course,
North America.
In,
as the
in my family's name is Big Peen. But
yes.
Mm-hmm. Various family to family, of course.
Yeah, still also no hard evidence of that existing.
A lot of hard evidence in Big Peen.
Oh, God, that's awful. Awfully good.
Awfully hard.
The most common names now, though, are relatively modern. Bigfoot, obviously from the 50s, and Sasquatch, which is actually, it comes from a much older word. It comes from the Native American Halkamelim word Sasquets.
Sounds like a cool band name.
Yeah, I think it's quite an old name. But Sasquatch was sort of like taken from that in the 20s. Sasquatch is a cool band,
yeah.
Right? Big band. I've seen them before. They're pretty good. Melbourne band.
You're saying Sasquet.
Yes, yeah, Sasquet. Sounded like the Rockettes, you know?
Yeah.
The Sasquets. That's cool.
That is cool.
Sasquatch are also.
Let's do it.
Okay.
No, I agree. Let's start a band again.
Again?
Didn't we do it last week?
Yeah, well, we started a band, and then I assume when you said again, then we must have broken up somewhere in there.
Yes.
Remember we were looking for a drummer?
Oh, that's right.
And I completely forgot that Al from Two and a Thing of Tank.
Oh, yeah, he tweeted
that. Is that why he tweeted that?
Yeah.
Right.
He's like, I play the drums.
I thought it was just a brag.
Yeah, I thought he was being...
No, it's because we were looking for a drummer.
I thought he was being totes random, but...
Yeah, that's so Al.
So anyway, according to this article, Bigfoot is described by believers as being between 6 and 8 feet tall with a large forehead and pronounced brow, like a caveman's.
Okay.
Wait, 6 and 8 foot. Mate, you're over 6 foot.
No, I'm even six even.
Come on, mate.
Even, look, I don't know. I haven't measured myself in a while. Don't point fingers like that.
So he's got a big forehead, but he's called Bigfoot.
Yeah, I know. Bit rough, right?
Syllables.
And a rounded crested head like a gorilla's. He is covered in brown or red hair. And has enormous feet that are his namesake, with the biggest estimation at a whopping 2 feet long by 8 inches wide.
That's his feet.
Yeah. His feet are 2 feet, which I also have 2 feet.
But he's seeing double here, 4 feet.
There are legends of similar creatures all around the world. For instance, you guys might have heard of the Yeti or Abominable Snowman of Nepal.
Yes, which Jess can't say. But how do you say it, Jess?
I can. I just have to imagine a bomb inside a bull.
Abominable. Abominable. That, right? Good tip.
Very deliberate, but it still works.
Apparently, it's known as the Abominable Snowman due to a poor translation of word Mato Kangmi, which would have more accurately translated as man bear snowman, which I love way more.
I like it.
Man, two man in it. Man bear snowman. I love how it's bookended by man.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Do you think, I just had this thought, what do you think about a new game for kids? It's not Duck Duck Goose, it's man bear snowman. That,
so if you get called a man, but for the second time, you're it?
I guess so.
Man bear. I only said man once, so still.
There's also
sort
the
of strange.
Yeah, it's a confusing game, which is what I like about it. There are also the Almas of Central Asia, which I hadn't heard of before, or the Chechnya of Siberia, the Mapinguari of South America. Apologies for all these pronunciations. And the Yowies and Yahoos of Australia.
I forgot about Yowies.
To our overseas listeners that are probably not aware of Yowie power. Mm-hmm. Which was for a while they had a sort of Kinder Surprise knockoff type thing where it was a Yowie,
yep.
A chocolate Yowie, and inside was a toy you build, much like a Kinder Surprise.
Yep.
Man, I loved those.
I was really more of a Kinder Surprise girl.
Really? Oh, well, I'm a Yowie.
Yowie boy.
Yeah, I'm a Yowie boy.
And the only Yahoo I know of is Yahoo Serious.
Yeah. And .com.
Great point. Yes.
It was I think it's an old that was used as a, and maybe it comes from this, but like these bloody Yahoos. If you're talking about if some people are a bit, you know, rowdy or something.
Check out these Yahoos.
Check out these Yowies.
Nah, never heard it.
Nah.
I'm starting it.
Okay.
You bloody Yowies.
So there are these legends all around the world, right? The only continent apparently that doesn't have one is Antarctica.
Aww.
Yeah, I know, a bit rough.
Is that because no people live there to make something up?
Or to have seen it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I stand by what I said.
I really hope, I don't know, I hope it happens organically, but I really hope at least one of you is right on board with these guys being real. Because I am. Anyway, spoilers.
Of course I am.
Yeah, I know. That was almost ridiculous. Of course they're real.
What a stupid thing to say. You're doing a report on a real thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to sit here and talk about something that's made up. Would I waste everyone's time?
What a waste of time that would be.
Never done that before.
This is kind of...
Santa Claus.
The Mothman.
I think this might be our third in a trilogy of cryptozoology reports.
Recap for us.
Mothman.
Mm-hmm.
Loch Ness Monster.
Great.
This current one we're doing now, the Bigfoot.
What about the Yule Lads?
No, they're crypto...
Crypto Warf- boys?
Crypto boyology, yeah. Though the Pacific Northwest and North California in particular, I really wanted to say North Carolina, I guess, because I keep talking about those fucking Michael Jordan shorts.
Michael Jordan.
So, yeah, apparently they're the most specific areas where known as Bigfoot hotspots in North America. They do have others and other myths across North America as well. With some great names like the Ohio Grassman.
Oh, good. No. That's got to be officially our favorite.
Call it too early.
I was going to say.
Unless it's like the Gary Man or something.
You're calling it early.
So the Ohio Grassman's said to roam grasslands north of Akron.
Selling pot.
Yeah.
I mean, how tall is the grass going to be for him to hide it?
Yeah, no, that's the wild thing about it, right? Surely everyone else is, you know, in the snow or in the forest or whatever or some. What about this one, Momo the Monster?
Yeah, come on, Dave. You called it way too early. Grassman. Momo the Monster.
A hairy beast with a pumpkin-shaped head from Missouri.
Well, come on.
Okay. I love the pumpkin-shaped head.
Momo's cute, though.
Yeah. Momo the Monster. It sounds like an entertainer.
Yeah.
Are kids still scared of him?
Sesame Street. He's on Sesame Street.
I really do think this is my favorite, although I do agree with Dave. Probably the podcast official one would be the Ohio Grassman. I think my unofficial favorite named book Bigfoot type beast is Florida's skunk ape.
What is he? Is he a skunk or an ape?
Also known as stink ape and swamp cabbage man.
Swamp cabbage man. Why?
According
Wait, to- is he like, is it swamp cabbage? Like, what's the grouping here? Are they separate words, three separate words, or is it like swamp cabbage man?
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I read it. It was written in three different words. So I read it as lives in the swamp, smells like cabbage, looks kind of like a man.
Yeah. It's no. He's not a man who looks...
Small hands. No. Smells of cabbage.
In my reading was, it's a man who eats the swamp, lives in a cabbage, smells like a man.
Yes. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
That's one of the big mysteries.
How does he eat a swamp?
Just be a man who's drank a lot of swamp water.
I did write a little bit down from animalplanet.com about the skunk ape. Apparently it gets...
if it's on animalplanet.com, it's got to be real.
Sure.
Dave, you're convincing to believe it.
It's not called cryptomadeupshit.com, which by coincidence is also my new homepage.
So apparently, according to that website, the name skunk ape comes from the creature's appalling smell.
Oh.
One relatively recent sighting of the skunk ape occurred in May of 2011, where a fishing guide and two of their clients were cruising along a mangrove swamp when they spotted something, at first thinking it was your average animal, like a feral hog or bear.
What a country. just your average feral hog swimming in the swamp. Oh, don't worry about that there. That's just a feral.
Oh, whatever I said. Sheriff's back.
I'm going to take him out with a couple of bullets and my trigger gun.
My trigger gun.
I've got a trigger gun and a non-trigger gun. The non-trigger gun's shooting all the time. I can't make a stop. At least the trigger gun, I got a bit more choice.
But with the non-trigger gun, sometimes I don't have to reload.
Yeah. I call them break hours. I got a 10-minute break. Then I put the bullets back in and start shooting those feral pigs I'm talking about.
But as they got closer, they realized it was something else entirely. Describing it as wide as a side-by-side refrigerator freezer with a muscular torso, a ZZ Top beard, and a hairless forehead.
Oh.
The creature stared at them for about 15 seconds and then made a guttural harumph or snort and walked away into the mangroves, according to the Animal Planet article.
At this stage, it's just sounding like Zave Michaelides in the morning. You know, just like not much hair on top, but a lot on the beard.
And one of the stars of the Kentucky Fried Chatten podcast.
Yeah.
With a review Kentucky Fried Chicken. go and check that. It's very funny.
Nice short episodes, bite size. But apparently, if you don't want to eat KFC, apparently don't listen to it because you'll
eat KFC.
Yeah. Even though I don't know if they necessarily make it sound all that good.
The most recent episode I saw them post today, their review refresher toilet. I haven't heard that one. Good.
Another example is the Fook monster.
It's fuck. It's a fuck monster.
F-O-U-K-E.
That's a fuck monster.
A fook monster.
That's a fuck-a.
Also known as the Boggy Creek monster.
Boggy Creek.
Or the Southern Sasquatch.
Yeah, I like it.
And it is seen around the town of Fook, Arkansas.
It's a fuck monster. The town of fuck.
The most famous of these sightings occurred on May the 2nd, 1971, at the home of Bobby and Elizabeth Ford. The Fords had only recently moved into the house and reported that the creature terrorized them, even reaching in through a window before being chased away by Bobby and his brother. This didn't deter it for long, though, as it returned later in that night. Bobby had a gun and he shot at the beast, believing that he got it. But a significant search occurred and scratches and footprints were found, but a body... nor blood never was.
This sounds like a job for Scooby-Doo.
Raggy?
And the Mystery Machine. And it turns out that it was the owner of the amusement park all along.
I reckon that's
And he would have got away with it too if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
If it wasn't for that gun you shot me with. Fuck.
This story caught the attention of local media, and many more reportings of sightings occurred over the next few years. And also many movies have been made about the creature, including 1972's The Legend of Boggy Creek.
That sounds like a real box office hit.
And the follow-up, 1985's Boggy Creek 2, and the legend continues.
It was like 13 years later.
Yeah, there was one in between, but this was the direct, like this was the sequel.
How many Academy Awards did that win?
Countless.
Countless.
I did not count them. but as of today, no definitive proof has been found.
Sorry about that, everyone. Just dropped a drink bottle.
Don't do that to me.
I'm getting a little dry. Well, you can start that sentence again.
But as of today, no definitive proof has been found of the Fouquet monster.
Fuck monster.
Sorry, the fuck monster.
Honestly.
This topic isn't about the Boggy Creek monster, though, or the funk monster. Oh, the funk monster is a very different thing. Or the skunk ape. It's about Bigfoot, right? An entirely different.
What's Bigfoot's favourite genre?
Of foreign films.
Oh, of foreign films.
Yeah.
Is he a Bollywood fan?
Docos. Loves a foreign language doco.
Okay.
So I'm going to tell you about a few of the most famous Bigfoot stories. The first dates back to the early part of the 20th century, even before the term Bigfoot was even coined. This story is about a man named Albert Ostman and comes, again, from animalplanet.com. These guys love the Bigfoot stories. I don't think...
Again, if it's on animalplanet.com.
It's a thing.
Is it an animal? Is it on our planet? Yes.
Ticks both boxes.
Two yeses. Two solid yeses.
Such a cute little yes. Like, yes. All right, mate.
Ostman was a lumberjack who was out camping in British Columbia in Canada in 1924. One night, when he was tucked up in bed, sleeping in his tent, the next thing he knew, he was being carried away, still in his sleeping bag, by a family of Bigfoots.
He was having a dream.
A family. Do you call them Bigfeets?
I was going to say, that must have been discussed before. I think it's Bigfoots. It's got to be. It can't be Bigfeet.
Like moose.
Yeah, or...
Big moose. We carry by a big moose.
Yes. It's much like a big moose.
Big foots, maybe.
Yeah, big foots could work.
Big shoes.
Well, that's a, yeah. Good.
Thank you. There's no wrong answers here.
Yeah, so, no, I was about to block. And I thought, no, that's what Jess does. I'm an enabler.
Mm.
I will ruin things by letting it happen. A very different thing indeed. So the family of Bigfoots included a father Bigfoot, a mother Bigfoot, a daughter Bigfoot, and a son Bigfoot.
Okay, he could tell the gender of them.
Why? They weren't wearing clothes.
So the girl ones had big eyelashes and were wearing skirts.
Yes, they didn't have clothes on their eyes. Very easy to tell.
I think if what you're saying is gender is fluid and it can't be determined by genitals, then yes, you're right. This is a very old school way of looking at it.
So what you're saying there is they weren't wearing clothes, so the girl ones had, like, breasts.
Look, I don't know. I haven't spoken to Ostman personally.
Why not?
He always...
I ran out of time, and he's long dead.
The girl one had a pink bow in her hair, so it's like, oh, that's the daughter. And the dad was wearing a tie and a bowler hat.
Ebola hat? That sounds dangerous. What a badass.
A hat of Ebola.
So he was slung over one of their shoulders. Ostman was taken on a bit of a hike, which apparently took multiple hours before he was put down.
Do you reckon you're yelling or do you just end up just taking it? And you're like, all right, whatever.
It's amazing, like, because they didn't wake him up until he was already on the journey. Like, them getting into his tent, chucking him up on the shoulder, bouncing along.
A heavy sleeper.
So he wakes up mid-bounce.
Mid-bounce.
That's crazy.
I reckon my first thought would be, what is going on?
My first thought
I don't know what you would think.
That is a great first thought.
First thought is, I've got to see these four animals' genitals so I can tell what gender they are when I get back to tell
so
people.
I can assume their gender.
And also that they're a family.
Yeah.
Can't they just all be friends of different ages and different bits and pieces?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
No, Matt. Thank you.
The family didn't seem to want to hurt him. Sorry to say family. I'm just going along with
no,
his,
that's fine. Yeah, of course.
His load of BS story. Obviously, everything else is definitely real, just not necessarily the fact that they're a family. Anyway, the family didn't seem to want to hurt him, but apparently somehow made it clear that he wasn't allowed to leave. Apparently, the family communicated with grunts, and Ostman remained kidnapped for the next few days before he came up with an escape plan. This was his plan.
He'll tunnel his way out.
I never suspect that.
He's just
this is in the middle. They're all
watching him.
They're huddled around him.
I don't think these creatures have understood the mechanics of tunneling. They won't know where I'm going.
What's happening? He's very slowly disappearing into the earth.
Why is he going down? How's he going down? Is this some sort of elevator?
Yeah, they know elevators. Yeah.
Oh, they're not stupid. Digging holes. Fucking hell, man. Don't be. I mean,
I don't want to patronize your friends. So his plan this was his whole plan, was getting Papa Bigfoot to consume an entire tin of snuff.
Mm.
Which is some, like, the only time I've ever seen snuff was at Oktoberfest, where some of the German Bigfoots were adult male humans were putting it in that little nook in their hand. What do you call that bit? Is that the nook?
Yeah, it can be a nook.
Snuff nook.
And then they just, like, snort it up. I think maybe it's like tobacco or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, but it's some
it
sort
has
of
a similar hit to a tobacco. I
yeah,
believe.
It's like a little energy boost. Anyway, so he got the dad Bigfoot to have all the tin, and he did, which made him bend over in pain, incapacitating him, allowing Ostman to escape.
What about the other three?
I guess they were tending to the dad. Sure. They're a loving family.
Yep.
Ever heard of one, Jess? Actually, now that I think about it, the exact same makeup as your family.
Yeah.
Where were you in 1924?
A mama and a papa and a boy and a girl. Yeah, we're a perfect family. Thank you.
That's not quite what I said.
She didn't answer.
She did
very
not answer.
Very suspicious.
Yeah, very slippery.
Anyway, on with the report, I guess.
not to get bogged down in details.
Yeah.
So in time, he made it home. It took quite a while. Obviously, he had to figure out where he was.
And obviously, he was pretty tired. He had no snuff to keep him going.
How long do you reckon before you'd tell someone about this incident?
Well, you'd be missing for a few days, so you'd probably have to explain
them,
your absence.
Yeah, probably about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I was thinking of something similar. Jess, how long would it take you?
I don't know, and I try to be quite polite and ask people, like, say, hi, how are you, how's your day? I think in this case I would skip that.
Yeah.
I reckon, under 15.
Let's be honest, Jess, you'd put it in an Instagram story.
I think
I would.
She would.
I think he might have made some small talk because he didn't tell anyone for about 3 decades.
What?
Okay.
All right.
And this was because I guess again I didn't get a chance to call him up, but I'm guessing he was embarrassed about the story, thought people wouldn't believe him, and he only came forward when other stories started coming out in the 50s.
This does remind me of the story of Loch Ness.
Yes.
When they didn't tell anyone for many, many years, and they seemed to remember that it was a sunny Sunday.
Yes.
All the details. Though it could have been a log or an otter.
Or a Monday. And
one
it
of
could
those
have
three.
Been raining.
The legend of Bigfoot didn't really hit the wider public's consciousness until the late 1950s when a man named Gerald Crewe discovered a set of big footprints.
Oh.
Which were soon known as Bigfoot footprints.
Oh.
An article about these footprints is legitimately where the name Bigfoot originated from. According to an article archived online, it was titled Giant Footprints Puzzle Residents Along Trinity River. Catchy title. Got them in.
I love it. Punchy.
It was written by Andrew Ginzoli.
Big fan of his work.
And I read it as quoted in the Times Standard. On August 27th, 1958, Crewe and his road construction crew, found the footprints on the site where they were working in Bluff Creek, California.
Bluff sounds a lot like snuff. Coincidence?
I think so.
Also a word for making things up.
Yeah, that was... That's what I thought when I heard bluff. I'm like, well, clearly.
Yeah, me too. We all thought the same joke, and I purposefully went a different way.
Smart comedy. Always go the third or fourth option. Or even, in this case, seventh or eighth.
Yeah.
The footprints were found in Bullshitville, right next to Prank Town.
Ah, prank, which sounds a little bit like spank.
Oh, seventh option there.
Crew made plaster casts of the prints and took them into the Humboldt Times newspaper, who went on to report on the discovery. Attached to the article was a great photo of a serious-looking Gerald Crewe holding one of the plaster casts. And I read somewhere that he was asked to smile by the photographer, but he refused, saying that if he did, then someone would accuse me of trickery.
Yeah.
I switched from talking about him in the third person to the first person mid-sentence there. Sorry about that.
Only tricksters smile.
So is he like frowning in the photo?
He's just looking very earnest.
He's going, oh. He's doing shakas.
With his tongue out.
Yeah.
They'll take me seriously now.
The beast's footprint measured 18 by 7 inches, and according to Crew's measurements, had a 50-inch walking stride.
Whoa.
What do you mean?
As in between steps.
Right. What's a step?
Oh, dear.
So that's a 50-inch. What's that? 1.25 metres.
So that's a pretty big stride.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm about 1.2. So I'm definitely not a big foot.
Thank God.
Got a pretty tight hamstring as well.
Mm.
Can't stride out.
You got to stretch before bed.
Yeah, you got to.
And morning.
Morning. Every 12 hours on the hour. According to Genzoli's article, the creature was a regular visitor to the area, saying the latest appearance of the huge thing, I like that description, individual or animal, occurred again sometime Wednesday night or early Thursday morning. The country is some of Humboldt County's deepest wilderness, where not a lot of natural secrets are known to the white man. This story kicked off big media attention locally before even being picked up internationally, and really this was where Bigfoot mania began. It's with,
like,
this story.
Like Beatlemania?
Yes.
But before?
Yeah. Beatles were just, I think they were forming around this time. At least three of them, maybe they were
late 50s?
Yeah. There were stories that a man named Ray Wallace, a known trickster and brother of a worker on the site, or a construction worker himself, depending on which article I'm quoting from, was responsible for the footprints. This was a story going around, right? But apparently Wallace wasn't keen to talk about it, reportedly telling a journalist named Bill Chambers that he didn't want to be made a laughing stock of.
That does not sound like a very good prankster.
Yeah, he does like not, that. That's what you want.
Does not want a laughing stock.
I don't want to elicit laughter.
Yeah,
in any way.
I'm a very serious artist.
You're in the wrong biz.
Did you ever see anyone laugh at the show Punked?
Nah,
I don't think so. I rest my case.
That's probably true.
Those pranks are not funny.
They are not.
Wallace died in 2002 at the age of 84. And after this time, apparently his family came forward to confirm that Wallace was in fact responsible for the footprints. From what I read, it wasn't clear whether or not this meant that Wallace himself was some sort of a Bigfoot or if he faked the footprints.
Right.
I think people probably would have noticed just in, like, interviewing him that he had super huge feet.
18-inch right. feet.
And they would have been quite out of proportion with the rest of his body, so it would have been quite noticeable.
Again, I didn't get a chance to interview him either.
Of course,
either, so
yeah, of course.
Wasn't able to make that.
I would assume it's the latter.
Okay.
Imagine if a little prank that you did created something as famous as Bigfoot. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be so great. But, I mean, the people, the true believers still believe these footprints are genuine, and the area of Bluff Creek continues to be a hotspot for Bigfoot trackers, and that's because of this one and also another. There's been a lot of sightings around that area, but often, you know, where people go to look for something, they will find something, if you know what I mean. But another one of the most famous stories occurred right here in this location.
Right. In Brunswick.
In the studio.
In the studio,
You did sort of point with your hand a little bit.
I'm vividly telling this story.
Oh, you're there.
I'm there.
You're wearing like
I'm in Bluff Creek right wearing now.
Like oh, a... sorry. I'm just vividly telling a story. I'm just really in.
I'm in
the story.
Sorry, if you're not. Have I not got you guys in?
Sorry for not being vivid.
Can't you smell the skunk ape?
I can smell some cabbage, some swamp cabbage.
I can smell a man.
But you like. There's so many ways, reasons why a family might come forward and say this, even though it wasn't true. Maybe the feds got to them.
Oh,
do you think about feds. That? Or maybe some other, you know, secret organization that we don't even know about who keep the Bigfoot under wraps.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long-form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. Bluff Creek was also the location for the famous Patterson Gimlin film. Have you guys heard of this?
Yes.
No.
I'm sure. Have you seen it, Jess? The footage. It's of him walking. Is it
oh,
not?
Yes.
Bigfoot walking.
I thought you meant film, like motion picture.
It is.
Oh.
It is a motion. There is. It's a motion picture.
Okay.
Of him walking.
Right.
But it's about a minute long.
Yeah. Okay. But it's not
it's not a feature length film.
Not a feature length film nominated for an Oscar.
Oh.
It's just a moving. Film.
What a cruel way to find out.
In some ways, you're less impressed by a feature film nominated for an Oscar versus an actual film of Bigfoot.
Correct.
Huh. Yeah.
So show me the art.
It's the most famous evidence.
Yeah.
I'm inverting commas with my fingers there, because some people don't believe it. Sorry.
What?
I'm sorry.
Naysayers.
Yes, I've called them that somewhere in here. Anyway, the film was shot in 1967, and it shows a big, muscular, humanoid ape with large breasts casually walking upright through a forest clearing. The quality of the footage is a bit dicey, but it's pretty clear. It's the best anyone's ever come up with that hasn't been instantly shut down as BS.
Sure.
Short for bullshit, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
The video is named for Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, the men who shot the footage. Both Patterson and Gimlin had been amateur boxers and rodeo cowboys.
Ooh.
So they hadn't been hit in the head at all. Or maybe a little bit.
They were potentially really good at both of those things. There is plenty of conjecture about the film's
authenticity. They wouldn't have been amateurs if they were really good at it.
No, they, well, okay.
Unless they were humble.
They were just humble. It was a different time. So there's plenty of conjecture about the film's authenticity, and even Patterson and Gimlin's stories of what happened that day have had doubt cast around them, right? Some say that they, well, I mean, if they think the movie's made up, I guess they would assume the whole story is made up, to be honest. But here's how the story goes. On Friday the 20th of October, Patterson and Gimlin were searching for Bigfoot on horseback around Bluff Creek. When they rounded a corner, they saw the hairy figure, later known as Paddy. That's what the beast in that film is now.
Nicknamed Paddy.
Nicknamed Paddy, yep. Oh, I don't know if it's after him or not. Maybe it's because of the Patterson-Gimlin film. I should have probably looked that up. Anyway, they saw Paddy. Patterson dismounted and runs towards the beast before pulling out a video camera he's hired. Obviously for this purpose, they were looking for it. And he shot the famous footage. At first, it's a bit shaky, but then he sort of stabilizes. And the middle section of the film is the clearest, which is also includes the most famous shot in all Bigfoot history. It's the one you'd probably picture if you're imagining Bigfoot, unless you're thinking Harry and the Hendersons with John Lithgow as the father of the Hendersons. That's two.
My God, he's in every film.
Two Lithgows in 2 weeks.
He is a talented and versatile man.
He certainly is.
Seeing double Lithgow. Four Lithgows. this famous part of the film is you know, it's pretty stable, and the beast sort of turns his head, or her head, sorry, to look at the camera.
And flips the bird.
Flips the bird.
And then rollerblades off.
Rollerblades.
Yeah, it's real sick.
Eat shit, suckers.
That's a flip. It's fucking cool, man.
So that frame is frame 352. That's the famous frame.
Oh, the one where its eye contact is.
Yeah, where it's turned its head and it's looking at the camera. On YouTube, which I watched it and then I read some of the comments for, I reckon, maybe 45 minutes, which is what some people would argue is a great way to spend your time, me included. Some of the people who are arguing in the comments about this frame, some saying that the look proves it's real, saying stuff like, if you're a man in a suit, why would you look towards the camera? It's ridiculous, right?
But if you didn't want people to think you're a man in a suit, you would look at the camera. I assume people countered with that.
Yeah, I think, people countered with all sorts. Like, some arguments were like, yeah, fair enough. Yeah. And some arguments were like, what are you talking about?
It's a double bluff. And they're like, no, it's a quadruple bluff.
Four crusties. So I reckon there's probably a few different reasons. Personally, when people were saying that, my thoughts were like, you know, maybe that look was just to see if the camera was rolling because it was the 20th take. And are we doing this again? You know what I mean? So if it was a fake, then it's unlikely that was the first take.
Yeah, right? Like professional actors accidentally look at the camera all the time and they have to reshoot a scene, and they're professionals.
Yeah, you clock the camera, no doubt. Jess, I saw you do that one time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do it all the time. Accidentally. Well,
why do you always wink then when you do it?
It's an accident. I'm naturally charming.
Naturally winking. Is Bigfoot winking at me? Is that rolling? Wink.
So anyway, not long after the head turn, kept walking, disappeared out of view. The video is something like a minute.
Did he say, hey, I'm walking here?
Yeah.
And how does it disappear out of view? Just out of frame? Because you can move a camera.
Well, into sort of trees and stuff. Behind stuff, and then came out a little bit briefly and then went back away again.
I never thought about this. Is there any audio?
On the video I saw, it's there Chewbacca. Was. It was ominous music.
Dun, dun.
I get nothing for the chewy sound.
Oh.
No. Oh, just go on with the report.
That was very good chewy sound, Jess. Well done.
Thank you.
Can you do it again?
No.
Nah, go on.
No, now I'm shy.
Oh, she's winking again.
Following the sighting, the pair continued to track Paddy until the terrain made it too difficult. Then they went back, got some plaster, Paris or whatever, made plaster casts of the footprints, which is still seen as being, you know, by a lot as great proof of the authenticity of it all. But there were some inconsistencies between their stories. I don't know. Did I mention that before? For instance, Patterson said the Bigfoot was between 6.5 and 7 feet tall, whereas Gimlin said 6 foot flat, right? And that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's half a foot to a full foot difference. In height, it's quite a big.
That is quite a lot. But if someone's a long way away, say if there was an NBA basketball player 15 meters away from me, I probably couldn't tell you how tall they are.
And also super bulky.
Yeah.
So I don't see that as being necessarily.
I think that's really hard.
Something other people say is like, oh, Patterson. So, some people say, like skeptics say, he's a known liar. He's spent his whole life lying, right? That's what some say. He also changed it, so it was. I think later he was saying 7.5 feet. Like it grew in his memory as time goes. But that's also something that can happen.
Also, to go back to that YouTube comment thing again. If it was planned, wouldn't they agree, all right, it was 6-6 exactly?
Exactly. That's an argument that believers counter with all the time. They say, if anything, it's proof that it is real.
Yeah, because if it was all staged, they'd all be like, yeah, he was this color exactly, what? Blah, blah, and we had to return the costume by 4:30, otherwise we'd have to pay for 2 days.
Wait.
Shit.
Forget that last bit. The timeline in the pair's story has also come under scrutiny with skeptics, with some saying the things they said happened on the day could not have possibly all fit into their timeline. It was a pretty jam-packed afternoon. They're like, and then we went back to the camp on horseback and it was this far away, and then we went back and did the plasters, and then they sent off the film and they're like, it doesn't add up. It would have been very hard to happen. Some have looked into it, and the flight they said they sent the film on, though that day that they said it was, the planes were all grounded.
Oh, okay, that's a bit dodge.
But then others say it wouldn't have happened on that date, and there's some murky stuff around. So people, non-believers, are like, it's definitely bullshit, but still so many people are like, definitely real, right? Anyway, and there are plenty of naysayers about the video, Jess, because you could argue it is almost definitely bullshit, right? I wouldn't, but you could argue that.
You could.
But that's boring to me. I think it's boring to hear what the skeptics talk about. One thing they do say that makes sense to me is that if it is real, there's got to be plenty of them around to breed and go on and that sort of stuff. So if that's the case, why hasn't anyone ever found a Bigfoot body or bones or anything, right? And one argument I've just come up with now is that they're immortal. They live forever.
Oh, that would make sense. You never find a dead body. Or they all spontaneously combust.
Yes.
My favorite and that form is of death.
Exactly. So there are definitely reasons why this would be. Or that they're super intelligent and over the years have figured out ways of evading us and they've got, you know, their own system to dispose of each other's bodies. Or maybe...
Mole people,
exactly. Could be FBI. So there could be an agency covering. You know, there's lots of possibilities. But anyway, the naysayers are kind of party poopers, right? So that's boring. Let's hear from some of the yay-sayers. one thing about the video that keeps many believers excited is the way Patty moves. They love the way she moves.
Mm. Bit of moonwalk?
No, it's all forward earth walking.
So they didn't create the moonwalk before Michael Jackson?
No. Someone did, though, didn't they? Who did that?
Yeah, I think I...
Bowie.
I don't... Okay. Believers say that the walk is unlike any human would or even could walk, right? According to an article published for the Oregon Public Broadcaster, the professor of anatomy and anthropology at Idaho State University, Spuds Club, Jeffrey Meldrum...
Go Spuds!
...is one of the few academics to openly study Sasquatch, and he is a believer, saying, this is a quote, "It's all so easy to say, obviously that's a man in a fursuit, until you see it up against a man in a fursuit." And you go, that's a man in a fursuit. That can't be a man in a fursuit.
And is he saying that whilst he's wearing a fursuit?
He's just got a fetish.
Just for credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh? He's sort of photoshopping himself in, going, look, this is a man in a fursuit. He's like a jauntily walking next to it.
Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a man in a fursuit. This is a man in a fursuit.
Darren, put the song on. Boo, do, do, boo, do, boo. Just prancing around in a fursuit. And that's why I am the professor of Idaho.
I'm the professor of Idaho.
Self-described.
Meldrum, to bolster his argument, he points to the movie Planet of the Apes.
Which is men in fursuits.
Yes. So, Dave, I don't know if he picked that up.
So, as all academics do, have you ever seen the film Godzilla? he points to the film.
But I sort of get his logic here somewhat. He says...
Wait a minute. Statue of Liberty. That was our planet. When Homer does that, man, it's so funny.
Fucking so many Simpsons references.
Oh, it's mainly four Krusties.
The first of the Planet of the Apes movies came out around the same time as the Patterson-Gimlin film, right? So you could argue that they could be compared in terms of if you're saying they're both suits. Okay,
technology-wise, yeah.
Yeah, and the Planet of the Apes first movie, 1969, was nominated for the Oscar for Best Costume Design. So was it the cutting-edge, big-budget film, a lot of money into the costumes, but it looks shitty. His argument is, this is what Hollywood's come up with, pretty unbelievable things when compared to this, that these rodeo clowns or whatever they were, they weren't clowns, but anyway, not in that sense of the
rodeo
word.
Boxes.
Boxes, that's right. You know, I'm over-explaining something that is obviously clear already, what his point was. Of the Planet of the Apes apes, Meldrum suggests they look like big, hairy Pillsbury doughboys when compared to the Patterson-Gimlin film Ape Paddy. Not Ape. Ape Man. Not Ape Man. Bigfoot.
Did Patterson and Gimlin, did they win the Academy Award for Best Picture over Planet of the Apes that year?
That's something I did.
For not Best Picture, Planet of the Apes, Best Costume. They should have. They really should have.
Mm.
According to the article, he shows the Patterson-Gimlin film to his students at university and asks them to critically analyze it. They start at the head and they can see the trapezius. They can see the deltoid, erector spine down the back, shoulder blades moving under the skin. The quads contract when they're supposed to contract, none of which ever show up in a cheap off-the-shelf costume.
That's true. Can't see dem quads.
Yeah, so all these, and it's a big... big, muscly beast, right? So that's an interesting thing. Debate continues to rage on about the film. Was it a hoax or just through dumb luck, these two rodeo riders lucked into a costume that behaved in a more believable way than the high-tech Hollywood ones? That's possible, but yeah, I agree with you, Jess.
Not by luck.
Yeah, not by luck.
Like they just happened to go to a really good costume shop.
The other things some people say is the way the film was shot, they're not sure how many frames per second and that affects how the movements work. So maybe it's just like all these things lined up to make it look like, which is starting to sound a bit like conspiracy theories on the other side. They're the kind of things people say about the moon landing video and stuff. So, but then if it's real, are they just two of the luckiest or the two luckiest Bigfoot hunters of all time who just happened to be there when one walked past? I mean, they were there in a place they believed that it was.
They weren't looking for him.
But so have thousands and thousands of others. And they were the only ones still, 50 years later, over 50 years later, still the only ones who've got any sort of decent footage of it. Are they that lucky? If it's real, that's what we have to believe. And that they're immortal, obviously, because they don't have never left a body behind. It feels like an argument similar to religion to me, like those who want to believe in Bigfoot will continue to do so no matter what the skeptics say. And then in the other way around, short of physical evidence or a personal sighting, none of the skeptics are going to budge either. Don't you reckon it feels like that? Because there's been so many arguments both sides for so long, 50 plus years, and they're still...
Yeah, totally. And I have in both instances, my argument is, really?
Yeah.
But really?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that your argument?
Just when it comes to religion and Bigfoot.
Can you represent me in court?
But really?
Oh, fuck, he is good.
Really?
Oh, let her off.
She's off.
This guy is tedious. Not guilty.
Really?
No, Dave, shut up. Shut up now. Your job here is done.
A man named Bob Hieronymus came forward to claim that he was the man who wore the costume in the film, and he has passed a lie detector test saying that he was the man in the suit, right?
Really?
Really? When did he come forward?
He came out decades later. Right. His story was that he, being involved in this fraud, he felt like he would have got in trouble, right? He was meant to get paid. Patterson never paid him, is how the story goes. He was meant to get $1,000 that day of work. So it was meant to be good money. He never collected the money and he stopped fighting for it. He stopped chasing it because he was like, it's blowing up. It's getting a lot of attention. I don't want to be associated with it, because he was nervous that he was going to get in trouble for that. So that was his reason for not coming out for a long time, until a long time later.
You wouldn't get in trouble, though.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. So it feels like, yeah, he was at least very naive, or that's just a story. It's possible that it is a man in a suit and this guy isn't that man as well, you know? Also, I read that Patterson also passed a lie detector test saying that it is all real. So lie detector tests aren't foolproof.
Oh, clearly. Someone's lying.
Yeah, they've contradicted each other.
Someone has to be lying.
Yeah, and I think we've known that for a long time. They're not allowed, like, they're inadmissible or admissible. Inadmissible in court. Admissible?
I'm not sure.
I think it's inadmissible, right?
Yeah, I never hear of them being used in Australia.
Yeah, I don't think, or America, I don't think they're seen as being consistently.
But they are a great plot point.
Great plot point.
Totally.
And very fun to watch.
Yeah.
A little needle go.
On a reality show or something.
Love it.
And they're like sweating. Oh my God.
Looking all tense.
And they're strapped to like something that looks similar to the electric chair.
Yeah.
Of the two filmmakers, Patterson died of cancer only a few years after the film was made. Gimlin, on the other hand, still lives and maintains.
Really? Oh my gosh. Really? That was legit. That's how good I am. I convinced myself I was surprised.
And so he still maintains that the film is legit. Around 50 years after the film was shot, he was interviewed by Outside magazine, and he said that he wished he'd never went looking for the creature, saying that Bigfoot has ruined his life.
Jesus.
He sort of got pushed out of getting royalties from the film, which apparently just made a lot of money. It collects royalties, which is
insane.
So yeah. Why did he get pushed out of the Sole Survivor?
It was some sort of legal deal, but this was soon after it happened. I think he got squeezed out somehow, some sort of legal thing. Probably had a good lawyer like you, but just couldn't quite get the job done.
Really?
Yeah, you shouldn't give this guy any money. Really?
He felt like he was in a lose-lose situation, right? Like, either way, no matter what people thought, they either thought he was a space cadet for believing in Bigfoot or he was a liar, you know? Like, most people, apart from the true believers, everyone else thought he was sort of him negatively one way or another, right?
Bit kooky.
At the time, he said, way back, he said, I can understand why they don't believe in it, because I didn't believe in it either, but I saw one and I know what I saw and I know it wasn't a man in a suit. It couldn't have been.
Imagine if he filmed. Actually, there is a scenario.
I thought of this too.
Where they both passed a lie detector test because he honestly thinks he's seeing a real man and that is a man in a suit. So they're both telling the truth.
Yep.
Yes, and some people have put that forward as a suggestion as well.
Oh, we're not clever.
No, you are. I didn't think of that until I read someone say it. But
he was a prank.
The Bob Hieronymus guy, I think he said he was organized to do it by Patterson. So that in that case doesn't work, but it could be if Hieronymus is full of shit, Gimlin could have thought he saw it even though he didn't, potentially. Ugh, that was a confusing
thing. Of the two filmmakers, one of them might have been in on it, like to prank their friend, and then it blows up and you're like, I just better keep my mouth shut.
There's also talk that Patterson was in it for money. He knew he didn't have long left and he wanted to leave an income stream for his partner.
God, would you think of that?
Out of all the things to do.
Yeah.
I mean, just create a drug lab like Breaking Bad or something.
Yeah, or just go to the casino.
Yeah, all right, what I'm going to do is create a 10-second film of Bigfoot, and that will keep royalties in my family for the next 50 years.
It's a real roll of the dice.
That's a real roll.
Yeah. That's the casino of life.
And all I have to do is spend $1,000 to pay a man to dress up in a suit.
And hire an expensive camera.
Which I think, a company, he got a company to pay for all those things. I think he's one of our classic charismatic good talkers, but kind of a swindler guy.
Perkins.
We come up a lot. Yes, a Perkins. The Perkins archetype.
Really?
So that's, honestly, there's so many different paths I could have gone down.
Sure.
And even just in that story alone, it's so much that has been untouched there. But I've sort of thought I'd finish with a few little fun facts. There's quite a few here, though.
I will decide.
Sorry, attempted fun facts.
Facts at this stage.
Is the first one.
But are they really facts?
Really?
You know, I was talking earlier about Harry and the Hendersons, which I remember watching when I was a kid.
I'm going to need you to recap. I don't actually know Harry and the Hendersons. I played along. I don't know.
So it was a film where, like, they found a Bigfoot, and then as a comedy, and then he sort of lived as an adopted family member.
Really?
You know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
This was a film.
Kind of reminds me of Encino Man.
And I guess it's...
Buddy. Like,
without the abs. But anyway, there was sort of a spin-off sitcom with different actors that ran for a few seasons as well.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah, so it was a big thing, Harry and the Hendersons. But this is what that's not the fun fact necessarily. What I thought was a fun fact. You know how in the Harry Potter episode we were giving shit to America for renaming some of the Harry Potter movies?
Oh, yeah.
Well, in the UK, Harry and the Hendersons was released as Bigfoot and the Hendersons. They didn't think that the Bigfoot on the poster, would be enough for the UK audiences. Is that fun?
Yeah. Leah, like the UK audiences would see the poster. They'd see the poster and go, wow, that's a really hairy big man with large feet.
I assume John Lithgow is Harry and the others are the Hendersons. What's this?
Is that their pet?
Is this some sort of typo? But like in image form.
But it also makes it a really, it just sounds such like a, it becomes a real dumb name for a movie to me. Bigfoot and the Hendersons. It's like.
Although.
It sounds no good.
It's a bit too obvious.
I wouldn't have needed you to explain to me the concept behind it.
That's true.
If you'd told me Bigfoot and the Hendersons, I would have been right there with you.
You would have been like, moves in with Don Lithgow's family.
Of course. And of course, there'll be some sort of spin-off series for a few seasons with different actors.
So that feels like, on Jess's scale, that is not quite a fun fact.
Not quite.
This next one maybe is in a similar boat, but I thought, thinking back to Mothman, I'm like, there's got to be some festivals, right? And it turns out there are so many Bigfoot festivals in America.
Really?
So many, right?
That was a genuine one again.
I found a listicle that named the top five.
Fuck, I love listicles.
Wow, there's a top five.
Yeah, and the number one they listed was the Honobia Bigfoot Festival, which takes place on a Christian mission in Honobia, Oklahoma. Events there include helicopter rides.
Okay.
Bigfoot rides.
Yeah, I know. This is just like, there's not a lot. There's a couple of things where they're just like put Bigfoot at the start of it, but
it's a helicopter so you can go and look for it.
I guess that's got to be the angle, right?
Bigfoot eating contest, there's, Bigfoot rides.
There's the Bigfoot 5K run,
Bigfoot fashion parade.
Compare your foot size to Bigfoot's foot.
Everything else is in normal, normal spelling, normal caps, normal lowercase, right? But then one is Kid Zone, all caps.
Is it kids with a Z?
No.
Damn it.
No, is it zone with a Z?
Yes.
Oh.
Whoa. That's pretty rad.
Really?
They also advertise that they've got a face painter named Faces by Wendy.
Okay, that's pretty on theme.
And a street performer called Hillbilly Willie.
Hillbilly Willie.
Well, I'm Hillbilly Willie and I can juggle on top of a ladder. Is that him?
It just seems like there's not all that much Bigfoot stuff going on.
It's
an artwork contest, though. It's called the Bigfoot Artwork Contest.
Ah.
So I guess, and it says you could do anything. It could be.
Oh, so it doesn't have to be Bigfoot related.
Yeah. No, I think it might have to be, but it could be a painting or a sculpture or whatever.
Photograph.
Cost you $5 to enter.
I've already made
the fucking art, mate.
Thanks for letting me know.
You were looking like you were ready to go. I mean, you don't have $5 to spare on this.
Yeah, I'm the artsy one after all.
This also confused me, but this could be just a typo, not really worthy of our time on this podcast. But anyway, it goes movie Saturday night at 6 p.m. And then confusingly it says festival is over at 5 p.m. each day. So I don't know quite how that works.
Has the organizer just scheduled a movie night for himself and accidentally put it in that calendar?
Yes, I think that...
My wife and I will be watching a movie. You are not invited.
That's just at our home.
But I just don't want to forget to rent Home Alone 2.
I've got to go to Blockbuster on my way home.
All right, it's Harry and the Hendersons for sure. Okay. All of that. Surely there's a fun fact in there somewhere.
I think the fact that it costs $5 to enter the art show is the fun fact.
I'm very confused by what it incorporates.
I thought helicopter rides was fun.
Just the fact that there's a festival is fun.
Yes.
Why did you just blank?
I said incorporates, but that's not the word I meant. Anyway, Hillbilly Willy was what I thought made that fun.
Yes.
And then finally, this is another listicle, because I know you love listicles.
Love them. And I love the word listicle.
Because you bloody love portmanteaus.
Oh, love them.
Bloody love, she loves them. She loves them.
I love them. They're so fun.
So this listicle was on theweek.com and it's called 11 Crazy Bigfoot Conspiracy Theories, and they're all great.
11 is an annoying number.
I won't go through them all.
Just one of them is an irrelevant.
Like, just read 10.
They can't all be good.
Sorry, let's say 10.
Thank you.
Great.
Now Christ I'm back on board.
This is a DNA test proved that Bigfoot is part human, a hybrid, right? And this study was done by Texas veterinarian Melba S. Ketchum.
Okay.
Claims, this is something that no one has officially done, but apparently claims to have Sasquatch DNA somehow and reckons it includes human DNA.
Okay, so is there just some weird cult out there fucking bears?
Yes.
Because what's the other half?
Yeah.
Apparently she went on to insist that that they're an indigenous people and immediately should have protection of their human and constitutional rights.
And the right to bear arms.
Yes.
That's what obviously she meant.
Up top.
We should give them weapons.
We should give them the right to call a lawyer and one family member.
And remain silent.
Anything they say.
Any grunt they make.
Can and will. But used as evidence.
This one's full on. Apparently there's a conspiracy that the government secretly removed burnt Sasquatch corpses from Mount St. Helens after the 1980 eruption. So apparently Mount St. Helens was already known as a real hotspot for ape men sightings. So I'm doing
jazz hands
since the 20s. And apparently there were a few eyewitnesses who reported seeing federal helicopters carrying off the charred remains of several Sasquatches from the area.
Several. Yeah. Wow.
Charred remains.
Yeah. Doesn't that make it sound like it could be... The fact that they're charred remains makes it tricky.
Mm.
Flying in a helicopter, you're like going,
from a distance. I can tell spot what that
Bigfoot
is.
Charred remains from anywhere.
Oh, I was imagining that they were in like a net flown below. That doesn't make sense.
Especially when you're trying to take them away. Why would you be doing that? They were hanging below in a display case.
Yeah, imagine if you were
with a skywriter following him saying, charred remains of ape men. Don't tell anyone. Shh.
Imagine if you're at a Bigfoot festival and you did the helicopter ride and you looked down and the helicopter you were in was carrying around the charred remains. Oh, look, I found one. Shut up. Shut up.
Shut up or I will crash this helicopter.
I will kill us all. That's how much I want to protect this secret, even though I run the Bigfoot Festival.
Oh.
To throw them off the scent.
Interesting.
People in the YouTube comments will say, well, the Bigfoot Festival founder would never found a Bigfoot Festival if they didn't exist, but they did exist. Am I right?
Okay, I'm lost.
Thumbs up if you agree.
There's another one here. In 1973, Pennsylvanian UFO researcher Stan Gordon said he noticed an increase in sightings of Sasquatches entering and exiting extraterrestrial vessels. He believes that they're actually aliens.
Okay.
Okay, well, he is probably inclined to say that about nearly everything.
This burger's an alien. Okay, all right. Yeah, no, very good.
Washing the sheets, that's an alien concept to me. I'll lie in my filth.
My human filth.
Do a DNA test. Do one. I'm part human.
I mean all human.
Oh, no.
Just a couple more quick ones. I won't even do 10. Sasquatches appear in the Bible.
What?
A few modern creationists have argued that the giants briefly mentioned in the book of Genesis were actually early big feet.
Giants?
Oh, they've written big feet. Maybe it is big feet.
Nah, Bigfoots.
Bigfoots. Definitely sounds smarter. Yeah.
I don't remember there being giants in the Bible, but, I mean, I've never read it cover to cover.
Oh, you got to read Genesis. You'll love the bit where they briefly mention giants.
Oh.
Is this one a good one to finish on? Sasquatches occasionally sodomize domestic cows.
So says a local farmer.
Whose cows are acting suspiciously.
And definitely doesn't want to cop the blame himself. I definitely didn't fuck those cows.
It was a Sasquatch.
I didn't know this, but it says in this listicle, which I obviously can always believe listicles.
Is it the top 10 things Bigfoot fuck?
It says animal bestiality is far from uncommon. And apparently, according to more than a few farmers, they've witnessed male big feet, which they say here explicitly is the plural of Bigfoot. So I've been, I trust a listicle more than with my life. more than a few farmers have claimed to have seen male big feet getting intimate with some unfortunate bovines. I like how they phrase that. This is a very funny listicle.
Of course the farmers say that. Gets pretty lonely out there.
Did you see a big hairy male fucking a cow? I saw it too. It was not me.
Me, even though I was wearing my overalls.
Which is another thing. Big feet often wear my overalls.
Known to wear.
I want something.
I must
done
have
about
left
it.
Them in the barn. They just helped themselves.
Those dirty big feet.
You mean those overalls that are just over there in the corner in your washing basket there? No, other ones. I have multiple overalls.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you want to end on that one?
Should I?
Really?
I do not have to.
I reckon you're not going to get a better one than farmers banging a cow.
This is the other one. This is one that we sort of mentioned earlier. Sasquatches bury their dead. So that's one theory cryptozoologists have come up with.
But if they bury their dead, that means they understand the concept of digging, thus tunneling.
That makes so much sense.
Maybe they thought he was digging his own grave.
And they're like, this is convenient.
Let him continue. We're going to kill him in a minute anyway.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Unless they call their dicks, they're dead. And when they talk about burying them, they're talking about in cows.
Yeah, I think that's it.
There's a question, Matt, for you in the future. Edit that out or not?
You won't.
I reckon you will. So should we thank the people who have kindly suggested this topic?
Yes.
We had Daniel Amat here.
Thank you, Daniel.
Amat where?
Amat here.
Okay. Whatever you say, Daniel. Thank you, Daniel.
Great job, Daniel.
We also had Tony Martinez.
Tony Martinez or Tony Martinez. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. And thank you, Daniel.
And also Odin McCarthy.
Thank you, Odin.
A.K.A. Shrubmaster 27.
Shrubmaster.
That's a good A.K.A.
I like it. That's his Twitter. Michael Saltenberger and Lenert Stales.
Great names.
I'd also like to thank Elizabeth King, Emily Knutson. Sorry about the pronunciation. I fucked that up last time I reckon it. And Sarah Clow.
Wow, that's a popular topic.
I didn't even realize how many people had suggested it.
That might be one of the most suggested ones we've had. That's heaps.
Also, Marcus Gallagher actually suggested the Patterson-Gimlin film in particular.
Oh, cool.
Well, we did a big part there, so we can thank you also for suggesting that. Is that's everyone?
Yeah, that's everyone.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, guys, for suggesting the topics.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Listeners suggesting topics. And you can do so at any time. Remember, there is a little link in the description of this episode that takes you to a little form where you can fill out and suggest a topic and also tell us why you think it's interesting. They're always really fun to read.
Yes.
Some people take it very seriously. And some people make a joke. Both fine by me.
Yeah, I like it too. This was also voted on in our Golden Hat for Patreon.
Oh, thank you to those people that voted for it. Was it a landslide?
I think it was something like 60%, so a relatively solid majority. Yes, but just thinking about Patreon, it would be great to thank some of our Patreon supporters now.
That is a fantastic idea.
Yes, that's right. And so thank everyone in general that supports the show at patreon.com/dogoonpod. In exchange for your love and support, we'll give you love and bonus episodes, shout-outs, access to tickets, and all sorts of extra posts. We really appreciate everyone that does so. And let's thank a few now. Can I thank someone?
Okay.
That'd be so nice.
Can I thank a legend?
Should we give them a alternate Bigfoot name. So how there was Swamp Cabbage Man. Nah, yeah. You're right. Yeah, no. Stupid idea.
No, I was just trying to compute it. I like it.
It's.
Can you just
you
do?
You hate it.
Can you do the first example and then I'll jump in.
Yep.
Okay. I'd like to thank a legend from Adelaide, where Matt has just been, and where you had such a good time that we've decided we'll probably go there for a podcast sometime in the near future.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back there.
And I'd like to thank, and hopefully we'll see when we do the show, Timothy Poulton.
Shrubbery beast.
Timothy Poulton, the shrubbery beast.
Shrubbery beast. Love it.
Ah, shrubbery.
Who would win in a fight between the shrubbery master and the shrubbery beast?
Ooh. Just like the master.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
The master controls the beast.
Oh.
Sorry, Tim, you lost out there. And I'd also like to thank from Manchester in the UK, Nicole Carr.
Oh, Matt, have a go.
To be honest, I missed what you said at the start. I was trying to piece it together. So it's something to do with plants and monsters.
It's just a different...
Be anything.
Another name for like a Yeti.
All right, say it again. I'll just say what comes to me.
Okay, from Manchester... Manchester in the UK. It's Nicole Carr.
Tractor monkey. Oh, that's an old ABC TV show in Australia.
Yeah. Well, she won't know that. She'll think that's very interesting.
Tractor monkey. Tractor I like monkey. It.
And I imagine that's probably a phrase if that's why they call the show that.
All it is on Wikipedia is the TV show.
Okay. Could just be a TV show.
Right, there you go. Nicole Carr, the tractor monkey of the podcast.
May I thank some people?
Please.
Okay. I would like to thank from Dundee in Scotland.
Ooh, good.
Okay.
Scott McFarlane,
the broccoli.
Oh, okay.
Bin boy.
Broccoli bin boy.
Broccoli bin boy.
Where did broccoli come from, Dave?
Cabbage.
Yes.
Okay.
Broccoli bin boy.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well done. So thank you, Scott. Broccoli bin boy. BBB.
Oh, ooh. That's good. The triple B.
I love alliteration.
That sounds much better than broccoli bin boy.
Triple B.
Don't let anyone know what it stands for.
Will you triple B mine? That's what he says on Valentine's Day.
Cute.
To his love interest or future love interest.
That's cute.
Depending on where he is in his story arc.
Mm. And I'd also like to thank for my favourite city in the entire world.
Where's it going to be?
Perth.
We've spoken about this so many times. You guys never listen to me.
I imagine you'd live in the place that's your favourite. Otherwise, why wouldn't you move to the other place?
It's Paris.
Because our podcast is in Melbourne. Do you want me to move to Dublin?
Dublin's a very nice city.
It's my favourite place. And I would like to thank Jenny Lavelle.
Holy moly.
Good name, eh?
Jenny Lavelle.
I know.
Can I have a go at this one?
Yes. Sure.
Bell Bottom Dollar.
Bell bottom dollar.
Wow.
Bet your bottom dollar. Bet you are an Annie fan.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bell bottoms.
Jeans. Like in jeans. Dollar. Money. That doesn't quite work, does it?
There's no wrong answer here. That's fine. Jenny can be the bell bottom dollar.
What about the...
Try bell bottom something else. Maybe go B again. So it's BBB.
Okay. The... Bell-bottomed bull.
Bell-bottomed bull.
Oh, that's good.
So you picture that. It's a bull.
Wearing jeans.
Wearing like old disco pants.
Great.
On how many legs? Two or four?
Two.
Oh, back legs, front legs?
Back legs.
It'd be weird if it's just the front legs, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they walk up because, yeah, everyone, that's an old meme thing that went around. Which would you do? You definitely just back legs.
Back legs.
Shirt on the top.
Yeah.
Legs.
Well.
Top legs. You know how. Fucking animals working. Drongos. All right, can I thank a couple?
Yes.
And please don't let me do the things because I'm...
All right.
I reckon I want this one from Dave, and I really would love Jess to take it home tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
Because Jess, you seem like you've got a talent for this.
That's not true at all.
From one of my favourite suburbs of Melbourne.
Dublin?
I'd love to thank. From Sunshine North.
Oh.
I hate
Sunshine West. But North, you're back in the zone.
I'm a big West fan.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunshine, what a name for a town.
Yeah.
Love it. From Sunshine North, I'd love to thank and thank in equal measure Sam Abella.
Sam Abella, the crab diver.
Ooh, just a normal sort of job.
Oh, yeah.
Or he's a crab.
He's a crab man.
Right.
Crab man diver.
Snorkeler, like he's got a snorkel in.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Do crabs need snorkels?
This one does.
So so he's basically saying it's a crab.
It's a crab.
It's a crab. When I say it, I mean a good friend.
But it's a giant Sam one. Abella. Like man-sized crab.
Oh, man crab. Oh. Wouldn't you call it a man? Crab man.
Crab man diver.
Diving crab man.
Yeah.
Crab man diver. Sounds like a,
that's cool.
A Ronnie James Dio song.
Holy diver. Is that that one?
Yeah.
What does he actually say? Is it holy diver?
Holy diver. Yeah, it was genuinely pretty close to that. I just changed.
Crabby right. Diver.
And I would also love to thank
oh, no.
from Wollongong.
Ooh.
It's a great city of Australia. Olivia Barnett.
The Woolly Barn Owl.
Oh, spooky.
Man.
Oh. So it's a humanoid. It, again, when I say it, I mean Olivia.
Yep.
Our good friend. Olivia is a human-sized owl, but instead of feathers, wool.
Yep.
Wow, there's a lot
wings,
going on there.
Wings, but man legs.
Can she fly?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And the wool doesn't hinder?
Nah.
But if you get her wet.
Can't fly.
But the warmth stays in.
Oh, yeah.
Wool always keeps you warm.
Really? Even
breathes
if,
really well.
If it's wet.
Mm.
Even if it's wet.
It's good survival material.
Oh, that's why sheep wear it.
Exactly.
Hey, Dave, yeah. Before we go, I'd really love to mention this one. Well, I met so many cool people in Adelaide, and it's almost doing a disservice to them to not mention them all. But I had a great time with one of them was called Loose Luke because he was clearly very not loose at all, a classic ironic nickname.
Right.
And his friend who was very loose, he'd had a couple of...
Was his name Nerdy Nick?
His name was Jack, but his nickname was Fritzel. Oh. I didn't get to the bottom of that. He said something nice about Jess, like Jess is great. And then he goes, but what about Dave, that bloody Nazi synthesizer?
Heil Hitler.
Wow, Nazi.
Man, we laughed for so long.
Well, big shout out to all our friends in Adelaide. Thank you so much for tuning in there. And thanks for everyone for tuning in everywhere throughout the world. We'll be back next week with another brand new episode. But until then, we'll say thanks for listening and I will say goodbye.
Laters.
Bye.
Wait, that's not how you say it.
Bye.
Yeah.
I was going to say it.
That would have been unsatisfying.
Sorry.
Made me feel sick.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. It's not optional. You have to do it. We used to go easy on it, but now you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.